All right, if you have your Bible with you, turn to Acts chapter 16. And man, I just want to echo a few things that Pastor Eli and Elisa said. One, I want to just encourage you, if you're relatively new to the church, whether you've been here, maybe today's your first time, or you've been here for a few weeks or even a few months, but you haven't really taken a step to really get connected, I want to just really welcome you and strongly encourage you, take some time, make some time today and come across the hall and have lunch with us and hear more about our heart for what God, what we believe God is doing in our church and in our city. But you know, this, it's we call this that class, the three-week discipleship class for people that are new to our church, Momentum. And it's because we have a real passion in our heart for you to discover the life that God has for you. And everything that God's put in our heart to see happen in our church and in our city is all about individual men and women and young people discovering the abundant life that God has for you and beginning to walk in the purposes of God for your life, overcoming the challenges and discovering God's faithfulness even in the midst of challenges, and discovering what we speak about often, which is a life that's fully alive and shining brightly in God's purposes. So those next few weeks are going to be awesome. Starts with lunch today right after the service. Want to welcome you and encourage you to be there. Also just want to say how just blessed I was by what the Lord did last week on Resurrection Sunday, also known as Easter Sunday. So amazed and just thankful for God's presence. So grateful and thankful for the precious people who were courageous to share their testimonies, courageous to share where they were before Christ and where they are now that God's moved in their life. Weren't you grateful for that? It was powerful, and it kind of blew up on Facebook, people sharing it and sending it around. Let me just encourage you, especially if you were a part of that and you had the courage to stand and share your testimony, some powerful testimonies of things that God has done, ways that God has set people free and healed people and restored people. Come on, how many know He's still in the business of doing those things, and He'll do it for you too? But that was shared on Facebook a lot, and I just want to encourage you. There are people that saw that, that weren't here that Sunday, who are being set free and saved and encouraged, and their faith built up for what God will do in their life because of the testimony that they saw in your life. So be encouraged with that. So grateful and thankful, and I had several encounters with people, and I know that there were, what that means is that there were many more that who I didn't connect with. People that were just so encouraged to see people that you had invited to come and experience God actually come and be here last Sunday. And I know lives were touched and changed, and it's just the beginning. So I just want to encourage you and thank you, but mostly encourage you. There are people in this city, there are people in this region that only you can reach for Jesus Christ. There are people that might never hear the gospel, might never connect to the atmosphere of prayer and praise and family that this church is if you aren't willing to tell them and invite them. And you know something else is that invite, it's an invitation to church, but it's an invitation to Jesus. It's an invitation to Jesus. And sometimes even just having that in your pocket, in your purse, what did Eli say, your man purse? Your merce? Just having that little tool that just helps to open the door to a conversation sometimes will lead to an encounter with Jesus for that person right there, right then. It doesn't always have to happen just on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Come on, sometimes you'll, just the faith that stirs will allow you to have an encounter with someone and just begin to just have a prompting from the Holy Spirit to just begin to take their hand right there and just say, can I just pray for you right now? Or is there any way I can pray for you? We'd love to have you join us, but is there just any way I can encourage you in the Lord today or even pray for you today and for God just to begin to set those things up? Because we are called as a church to bring life, the life of Christ, and transformation and hope to the city of Lawrence and the surrounding regions, and you're called to be a part of it. So thank you. Well, are you there in Acts chapter 16? Before we get into the reading of God's word this morning, just want to catch you up. I'm jumping back in to the Shift the Atmosphere series, and I just think it's so significant, it's important. There's an atmosphere in your life, and there's an atmosphere in this church. There's an atmosphere over our city and over the cities of this nation. There's an atmosphere over our nation, and it will either hinder the work of God and the moving of God, or it will release it and facilitate it. And I've pointed in the scriptures to the time when Jesus was in Nazareth, and he, in many other places, the word of God accounts that Jesus healed them all. But when he was in Nazareth, the perspective that they had towards Jesus limited what Jesus had in his heart to do. And I know it can kind of blow our religious thinking or blow our minds a little bit, but there's a part that we have to play. There's an atmosphere of faith and expectation and anticipation. There's a reaching out to God. How many of you know that the woman who reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment received differently from the people who just kind of bumped casually into Jesus on that same day? So there's an intention, there's an atmosphere that is established that ushers in the move of God. How many know God wants to move in every church in every city? How many of you also know that different churches in different cities will experience different measures of the move of God? There are places that I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for the atmosphere of prayer and fervency and passion and praise and worship. Aren't you grateful for our worship team? They're just such a blessing. And yeah, come on. I'm so grateful for that atmosphere that's here in this place that we're believing. No, I just sense that God's just, he's stirring something, and the best is yet to come. He's stirring something in our hearts, faith for what he desires to do. And we talk about it often that we're believing God for a revival in this church and in our city that's evidenced by many precious people being saved, healed, set free, strengthened to stand in the word of God, strengthened and connected to a spiritual family. And then not just strengthened to stand, but moving, beginning to discover God's purposes for your life and for their lives and beginning to move forward into those purposes. And so we're believing for God to move in revival, but there's an atmosphere that must be established for revival in your life, in this church, and over our city. So Matthew 13 has been a key scripture in this series about shifting the atmosphere. And Matthew 13, I'll paraphrase it for time's sake this morning, is the parable of the sower. And it's the parable of seeds being sown. And you'll be familiar with it, many of you. Some of the seeds fell on rocky soil. Some of the seeds fell on the footpath. Some of the seeds never sprang up at all. Some of the seeds sprang up quickly and then withered away because of the heat. But some of the seeds fell in good soil and yielded a 30, 60, 90-fold harvest. And so I'm talking to you about the fact that there are seeds of God. There are seeds of purpose. There are seeds of potential in every life, in the life of every believer, every young person, every woman, every man, every one of us as believers. But that is no, hear me this morning, that is no guarantee that they'll ever come to pass. There are seeds of greatness, power, potential, and purpose in the life of every believer, but that is no guarantee that you'll ever experience the fruit of it. And that's no guarantee that the people around you will ever experience the impact that God intended for those seeds to make in your life and the lives of others. Some seed falls in a place where it springs up and then withers away. Some people encounter God and they get excited and they begin to serve God, but then the worries of the world and the fear of what others are going to think or distractions or other things begin to come into your life and they keep you from really walking out what God intended for your life to look like. Come on, I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be good soil. I want to have an atmosphere in my life and over my heart and over my mind and that is good soil for the seeds of God to spring forth, and not just to spring forth, but then to continue to grow and to the point of flourishing and to continue to flourish to the point of fruitfulness, that I would taste and enjoy of the fruit and my wife and my kids would experience the fruit of God coming from my life, and that the people around me even would be blessed by the fruitfulness of God in my life. But atmosphere is important. So just recapping there for you and kind of catching you up to speed, and now let's move to Acts chapter 16. I want to talk to you this morning about shifting the atmosphere, the power of praise. The power of praise to shift the atmosphere over your life. The power of praise to establish and shift the atmosphere in our church and over our city. Perhaps no single thing greater establishes or shifts the atmosphere over your life. Prayer's right there with it. Prayer's right there with it, but maybe nothing else besides prayer shifts and establishes the atmosphere over your life like praise and worship does. And come on, we're called to be, as part of our mission is to reach and to rescue people and to rescue people from a life of darkness to a life of light and reigning with Christ and then restoring. We're called to do that as we are going to be a people of prayer and praise and power and purpose. And so I want to talk to you about praise this morning, Acts chapter 16. Before we get into the Word of God, would you allow me to just pray over our time together and over God's word and over each of our hearts. And Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful and we're grateful. Come on, church, he's still alive. The tomb's still empty. He's still risen. That wasn't just last Sunday. We're so thankful that Jesus is alive. We're so thankful that the risen life of Christ, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is the same spirit, according to God's word, that's here today, moving and quickening and stirring us to be and become the people of God that he's called us to be. We're grateful, Lord, for what you've done. We're grateful to be in your presence. We're grateful for your word. We open up our hearts. Come on, right where you sit this morning, as I pray, would you just, in your own way, just open up your heart to hear from God this morning, to receive from God this morning. In the places, Lord, where anyone's weak or weary or wounded, thank you for coming this morning and healing and strengthening and saving, Lord. And thank you for strengthening us to stand in your word, stand on your promises, and begin to move forward in the purposes of God for our lives and for this church. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's precious and handsome people said, amen. All right, Acts chapter 16. The book of Acts it's called the Acts of the Apostles, but it probably would be better titled the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the whole book is about the promise of the Holy Spirit coming and beginning to empower people who were called by the name of Jesus and who were gathered together in unity, calling out to God and desiring to see God's kingdom move in their lives, desiring to see other people in their communities begin to be impacted by the very thing that had impacted their life and transformed them. And so the book of Acts has 28 chapters. And how many know we are now writing chapter 29, Acts chapter 29. Like we're the believers who are doing the acts of the Holy Spirit and bringing the word and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the redemption of God. We're the ones that are living it out, and we're the living testimonies and examples. We're the ones called to speak and to preach and to proclaim and to declare Jesus as Lord. So in Acts chapter 16, we find the story of Paul and Silas. And let's begin reading in verse 22. If you're there, say I'm there. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. And it says this: the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. So previous to this, Paul and Silas had set a girl free that was she was a hyper spiritual girl. She actually was a fortune teller, and they'd set her free, and these gentlemen were upset. These men were upset because they had affected their livelihood. They were no longer going to be able to use this girl that they had enslaved, and they were no longer going to be able to use her. And it had stirred up a crowd that was angry against Paul and Silas. And so, picking up there, it says the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. We'll come back to that here in a moment. Reading on in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Suddenly, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself, but because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. And in that culture, whenever the prisoners would escape, the guard was held responsible and would be executed immediately. And so he was basically just saying, this is going to happen anyways. I might as well just do it myself and save myself the shame. But Paul shouted out to the man and he said, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. The jailer called for the lights and he rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and he asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your entire household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and he washed their wounds. And he and all of his household were baptized. And the jailer brought them into his house and he set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his entire household. And when it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with this order: release those men And the jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." Go in peace. So I want to break this down for you, and I want to back up to verse 25. Come on, this is an amazing story here. This is an amazing story, and I trust that God's going to unlock some things for you today. I trust that God's going to reveal some things to you today or remind you of some things today as we break this down and study this passage. And in verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The first thing I want to encourage you with today is that there's going to be some dark times in each of our lives. There's going to be some midnight moments in each of our lives. And I want to encourage you this morning, that if you take anything away from my message this morning, it's that when we praise God in the dark times of our life, he brings freedom and breakthrough to each of us. There's going to be some dark hours in our lives. There's going to be some dark times in our lives. You're going to go through some things. And listen, the challenge to be a person of prayer, the challenge to be a person of praise is not when everything is going good. Come on, it's easier to praise God. It's easier to be grateful to God when everything's going good. But the real test of becoming a disciple, and can I just share my heart there a little bit with you? Like, we're called to go and make disciples. And we're called to be growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest hallmarks, I believe, of growing as a disciple of Christ is the ability to begin to praise God even when things aren't going our way. Come on, it's easy to praise God when everything's going your way, but what about when your refrigerator goes out and you have a flat tire and all that happens on the same day? Come on, can we praise God in the good times and in the bad times? There's going to be dark times and dark seasons in every one of our lives, and we must learn how to praise God in the midst of it. Listen, when we praise God in the difficult situations, it establishes that the blessing of God and the favor of God and the provision of God and the protection of God and my relationship with God is not based or dependent upon my temporal circumstances. It's a result of something that's deeper on the inside of me. It's a result of an understanding that regardless of how things are going in my life today, regardless of the chapter or the season of life that I find myself in today, there's something deeper than the external. There's something stronger than the temporal. It's a revelation of who God is and what God's done and who I am in Christ. And when we praise God in the midst of those things, the car breaking down, the refrigerator breaking down, can you praise God when you don't get the job? Can you trust God that his delay and that his redirection are his ways to connect you to his better plans and purposes? Can you praise God in the dark times? In the dark times. In verse 25. It says this, and we're just going through some things, and I want to draw some things out from this passage and encourage you and strengthen you with it. In verse 25, it also says this, the other prisoners were listening to them. How many know one of the greatest hindrances, one of the greatest things we have to overcome as believers to be a person of prayer and praise is the fear of man, is the fear of man. Listen, can I just tell you, I wasn't always a pastor. I haven't always been a pastor. And I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home, but I wasn't even always a believer. And there was a season in my life where I lived in strong rebellion towards God and towards his call on my life. And I rejected that. My mom, who's just an amazing, amazing, precious woman. Hey, Mom, if you're listening. An amazing woman of God. She just kept praying for me and she just kept prophesying over me and she would speak over my life and say, there's a call of God on your life. You're called to preach and to lead people to Jesus. And I remember what it felt like for that to just create anger in my heart. I remember what it felt like for that. I would just think, don't say that. And I remember what it was like to watch my parents worship in church and for my mom to just be lost in the presence of God and just lifting her hands and closing her eyes or kneeling before God or weeping before God. And I remember what it was like in that season of being a rebellious teenager, just saying, Mom, won't you stop it? I was ashamed and I was embarrassed. And then I remember what it was like even after I got saved. to have this fear of what are people going to think, even after my heart began to turn towards Christ, even after I was made new and changed and redeemed and renewed, I remember, I'm just trying to tell you, like, if you've ever experienced fear of what people are going to think, if you are a radical prayer and praiser of God, worshiper of God, I'm just telling you, I can relate. I remember what it was like to be in those early services and seasons where I'd come back to God and I was serving God. And I remember one time we were gathered in a circle and the leader of the group called on me to pray. And I remember just being paralyzed with fear. Like, what am I going to say? I can relate to that fear of man. Listen, others were listening and watching Paul and Silas and how they would respond to their prison moment. And I want to encourage you with something. God wants you to break free of the fear of man. God wants you to break free of the fear of man. Because the second half of my story is as I began to just press through and break through that fear of man, I began to encounter and experience and enjoy new levels of freedom and new levels of God's presence and new levels of joy and new levels of strength. Listen, when we allow the fear of others to keep us from praising, it keeps us in prison. It keeps us in prison. Your fear of them isn't going to affect them. It really just affects you. Man, how many times the enemy works that way in a lot of different respects, right? Like we hold unforgiveness towards someone and they're just getting on about their life and really it's tormenting you on the inside. If you allow the fear of what others think to keep you from being a radical worshiper of God, it's not affecting them. It's keeping you imprisoned in some things. But when we begin to step out and break free of that fear of what others think, and we begin to just say, this is who I'm called to be, and God's done amazing things, and even when he's not doing amazing things, he's an amazing God, and he deserves, and he's worthy of my praise and of my worship, and I'm going to overcome what people think about me. I'm not going to worry about what Sister Sally to the left thinks of me. I'm going to begin to just worship God. And come on, one of the values of our church family is dream big and start small. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do some amazing transformations in some of our hearts this morning that cause us to just go leap years ahead in our ability to worship God and not fear what other people think. But sometimes for some of us, it's just the most important step is just the next step. The most important step is just the first step. For some of you, maybe it's just overcoming that fear, man, where you just, it's like, can I do this? Can I really lift my hand and worship? And you just overcome the fear, man, to just lift your hand before God. And that obedience to just lift your hand before God is the first or the next step of this amazing journey into transformation to become this radical, amazing worshiper of God. Sometimes the most important step is the first step or the next step. By the way, the lifting of our hands, the lifting of hands is the international sign for what? Surrender. Surrender. When I lift my hands before God, I'm acknowledging him and I'm surrendering in that moment, my life, my heart, my mind. I'm surrendering my marriage to him, my health, my kids, my finances, my future. I'm entrusting, I'm lifting it up and I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to hold it tight in the palm. There's only so much I can do if I do it on my own strength. And I'm lifting my hands in worship before you as a sign of surrender and a sign of submission and a sign of holding my life before you lightly and asking you to come and breathe upon it, asking you to come and move, asking you to come and lead, asking you to come and be the God of everything that you've entrusted me to hold in the palm of my hand. So for some of you, maybe the first step is just beginning to just lift your holy hands before God like the Word of God declares. And by the way, I've encountered people as we're talking about praise. There's power in praise. I mean, we're about to get into some things that God did in the life of Paul and Silas. There's power when we begin to step out of the fear of man and we begin to become people that are radical worshipers of God. There's power in that. But I've encountered people who talk to me and they say, I just don't get into all that. I just worship God in my own way. I just worship God. I don't do it that way. I do it my own way. And I've got grace for people, but can I just tell you, the only way that really we ought to be living is the Bible's way. And the Bible talks about lifting up holy hands. The Bible talks about singing and shouting. The Bible talks about kneeling and bowing. The Bible talks about standing before the Lord. The Bible talks about a loud shout of praise. I just think that the Bible ought to be our pattern for how we live our lives. Amen? so others are listening, and the fear of others will keep you imprisoned. But when you break free of the fear of others, I want to show you something that happens. Other people get set free. And can I just talk to you, husbands, and can I talk to you, men? Because I think we all, I mean, men and women, we all can experience that reality of that fear of what others are going to think if I begin to be a radical worshiper of God. But I think there's a special attack on the hearts and minds of men as it regards that. Just there's a pride that we have to really break through. And there's a fear of what others are going to think. There's a fear of really letting go and becoming that kind of a radical worshiper like David was. But I just want to share and encourage you with something that I've experienced in my own life. I never, ever feel stronger as a man than when I'm humbled before God. I never feel stronger. I never feel more equipped. I never feel more able to be a man, to be a husband, to be a father, to be a leader, to be a servant, to be a pastor, to be a friend. I never feel more enabled and empowered and equipped to do that as when I'm humbled and broken and kneeling before God. And so, you know, the enemy, he puts controversy and fear around the things that have the ability or the potential to bring the most impact into our lives. That's why there's so much controversy around the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is your helper and your friend. That's why there's so much controversy, and it's why there's that scheme or that attack of fear that comes against men to keep us from being radical worshipers of our God, because Satan realizes if you'll begin to break through and you'll begin to discover your voice in worship, Satan realizes that if you'll begin to bow your knee and you'll begin to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, Satan understands that that's when you really begin to become empowered by God to begin to do the things that God's called and prepared for you to do before even the foundations of time. That's when you really become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. That's when you really become connected to the power of God's purpose in your life. And so the enemy puts fear around it. And can I just ask you, men, regardless of where you are today, some of you are leading the way. Some of you, I could learn from you watching you worship. But can we commit as men that we will be a group of men, a bond of brothers that are radical worshipers of our God, that don't bow down to the fear of what the world thinks or what our neighbor thinks or what the person to our left or our right thinks, that we'll lead our families, that we'll lead this church, that we won't require the women of this church to be the leaders of worship. We'll discover our voice, and we'll discover the ability to lead our wives and our families in our church as worshipers of God. Would you make that commitment with me? Would you be willing to make that commit with me? People are watching. People are watching. And we've got to break free of the fear of man. So another thing I want to show you, verse 24. There's power in agreement. Listen, they put Paul and Silas in jail. They were trying to keep the word of God from going forward, and they made some strategic mistakes. If they wanted to keep them in prison, they should have thought differently and done a couple of things differently. They made a couple of strategic mistakes. And I want to go back and I want to read this. And just watch this. Just watch this. It says this. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown in prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And catch this. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Listen, if he wanted to keep them in jail, that he should have never put them in the jail together. There's power in agreement. There's encouragement and there's strength that we draw from one another in Christian relationships. Listen, it's the reason why you come to this church on Sunday morning, because there's power in the corporate gathering together of all gathering as one people and one voice and singing the same lyrics and the same songs. And God comes. Listen, there's something that God can do in your life, and we're called to walk this out individually, one, each person, each man, each woman, each young person. But there's power. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am, right there in the middle of it. There's power in agreement. It's why you feel that life, and it's why you discern and sense that special presence of God that's here when we gather together in this place or in any place, worshiping and proclaiming Jesus. There's power in agreement. There's power when you're gathered together with other people. Listen, the enemy wants to isolate you. He wants to isolate you. He wants to separate you. Because he knows that if he can isolate you and he can separate you, he can take you out. But I all I can do is just speak from my own experience and what I've seen in the lives of others. And we've been through some stuff. I've been through some stuff. And I just got to tell you, one of the things that's preserved my life and kept me moving forward in God is that I've had precious people around me to come and minister to me and pray for me and share their testimony and encourage me and strengthen me in the Lord. Had I been isolated, had I not been connected to a spiritual family, had I not been connected to a church family, who knows where I would be right now. When I went through some stuff, who knows what the enemy would have been able to get to sow into my life or get into my heart or get into my mind and where that would have led me and the decisions that would have led me to take. But when I go through some stuff, come on, when you go through some stuff, you better get around some people who know how to praise in the midst of the prison. You better get around some people who have been through some things and are still praising God. Get around some people who can take you by the hand and say, you know what, we've been through some stuff. We were on the brink of bankruptcy. We were on the brink of divorce. I had this diagnosis from the doctor in my life. Let me share with you what God did in my life. And in that relationship and in that connection, you begin to get the power of a testimony that builds faith for what God wants to do in your own life. There's power in agreement. There's power in agreement. If he wanted to keep them in prison, he should have never put them in the same cell together. Listen, I mean, have you ever thought about it? Can you just kind of go there with me for a moment? Just kind of allow your mind's eye to just see Paul and Silas up in the prison. I mean, maybe one of them was trying to get some sleep. Maybe one of them was trying to get some sleep. Maybe one of them was even discouraged. Maybe one of them was even saying, oh, Lord, where have you gone? Why have you forsaken us? This is the final straw. Maybe one of them was even in that way, but one of them just began to sing. One of them just began to worship. Is it possible that they both just didn't say, hey, now it's the time, it's midnight, it's time for both of us to begin praising? Is it possible that one of them was trying to sleep and one of them just begins to get stirred in their faith and just began to sing? And the other one, maybe at first he was like, come on, be quiet, I'm trying to get some sleep. But then he just kept worshiping and just kept singing. And it began to stir faith in the heart of the other individual, the other person, to begin to sing and declare and proclaim the faithfulness of God and the name of Jesus. Come on, this was early in the life of the church. I don't know what song they were singing. It was probably written by Chris Tomlin. There's power in being a part of a family. When you're weak, when I'm weak, maybe you're going to be strong in that area. It's why when we come together in this place and we begin to worship, come on, people get set free. People get saved just in the middle of worship. People that come in just like desperate, up against something. Or some people come in, I've seen it. Before I was a pastor standing behind this pulpit preaching, and I've only been doing this for a year and a half. So thank you for having grace for me. But for 13 years, I stood in this position with a guitar strapped on my shoulder, and I led worship, and so I had a different perspective of what worship looked like. And I remember seeing people that would walk into a service with their arms crossed, representative of a heart that was hardened towards God or had just determined some things about God. And I've seen it time and time and time and time and time and time again where the presence of God fills the room in the midst of corporate worship and the heart that's hardened and the arms that are crossed begin to soften in the presence of God. And weights begin to be removed and chains begin to be broken and burdens begin to fall. And the presence and the love and the power of God begins to fill that same heart up that was once hardened and opposed, and it begins to soften and turn towards God. I've seen it. There's power in being a part of a family that praises. There's power. Listen, when you're going through something, you got to keep your eye on the Savior and not on the situation. Just keep your eye on the Savior and not on the situation. Look back into Acts chapter 16. Look back with me. Look back there with me. Let's see, what verse is this in? Verse 26. Listen, when you're going through something, keep your eyes on Jesus. When you're going through something, just keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Don't allow the enemy to just come and cause you to be more focused on your problem than you are on the promise. He's always trying to keep you more focused on your problems than on the promises of God. Keep your eyes turned towards Jesus, and watch what happens for Paul and Silas. They were just worshiping, and they were just praying, singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening, and watch what happens. Chapter verse 26. Suddenly, come on, look at your neighbor and say, suddenly. there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Suddenly, come on, look at your other neighbor that was your second choice and say, suddenly. Suddenly, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Listen, when you praise in the prison, when you praise God in the midst of the storm, when you keep your eyes focused on Jesus and on the promise and not the problem, you're going to experience some suddenlies in your life. The challenge is continuing to praise with perseverance and continuing to walk towards the promises of God until the suddenly comes to pass. Listen, some of you are closer than you think. You're closer than you think. You're closer than you think to the breakthrough. Come on, look at your neighbor, touch your neighbor again and just say, you're closer. You're closer than you think. You're closer than you think. There's a suddenly about to happen in your life. Some of you have been worshiping and praying. Some of you have been seeking and searching. Some of you have been walking through some things, walking out some things in your life with family members or with your finances or with your job or with what's God got for me and what's God's purpose and plan for my life. Some of you have been walking through some things. And you're going to go, I'm just telling you, some of you are closer than you think. You just keep focused on God. You just continue to worship him and just praise him and put him first. And watch, there's some suddenlies that are about to happen for some of you. Suddenly, some things that you're going to go from imprisoned to set free in a suddenly moment with the encounter with the presence of God. There's some suddenlies. But you know what's amazing about this story? We're preparing to close. In fact, I want to ask the worship team to go ahead and come and just begin to prepare to dismiss us with praise this morning. But you know what's amazing about this passage is suddenly the earth shook and the chains came loose and the door flung open. And you know what we see here? Paul and Silas stuck around. How many of you would stick around? Listen, I don't know that I would have the strength to stick around. I think I would be running for the hills, man. I think I would be I'd be making a beeline towards my freedom. Paul and Silas stuck around. You know what the Lord showed me about that? They were so connected to the purposes of God for their life. And they understood that God had moved in their life because he was calling them to make a difference in the lives of others. They were so connected. They understood. They weren't thinking about, okay, I'm set free now. Now I got to get back to whatever I was doing. They got set free and they just looked around and just said, all right, God, now you set us free like we knew you would. You've done it before. You'll do it again. Now we're just looking around saying, what are you up to? Why'd you set us free? Who's about to get saved? They stuck around. The jailer was about to kill himself and they said, don't hurt yourself. We're still here. We're not going anywhere. I got a Jesus to tell you about. And you and your entire family are about to get saved. You and your entire family are about to be changed. You and your kids and the kids that are yet to be born and the grandkids you're yet to see and the great-grandkids you might never see are about to be changed because there's something on the inside of us that wouldn't allow us to stay chained. When you get connected to the purposes of God, no man holds your key. No man holds the key to your life. Only God. When you break free of that fear of man and you begin to fear God and no man, no man holds the key to your life. It doesn't matter if you're in the prison or you're free as a bird. It doesn't matter. No man holds the key to your life. God wants to set us free today. I believe that, you know, that we're called as a church. This church, those four P's, prayer, praise, power, and purpose. We are called to be a church that is a praising and worshiping church. We're called to be a church that is built upon encounters with the presence of God, not just the wisdom of man. We're called to be a people of praise. We're called to be a people of prayer. And so I just want to ask you this morning as we prepare to close in praise, I want to make it so broad that hopefully every person feels compelled to respond. If you would like to experience greater levels of freedom in your ability to worship God, if you would like to experience more of God's presence when we gather for worship and when you're worshiping God and praising God in your own private time and all throughout your life, if you'd like to experience freedom from the fear of man and greater levels of the presence of God in worship. I want to ask you to stand. Men, the men of God in the place, if you're committed to being to lead your family as a worshiper of God, come on, there's nothing that I can just say it's true in my own life. I'm more attractive to my wife when I'm worshiping and praying and seeking God. She might say I'm most attractive when I'm vacuuming or unloading the dishwasher, but you're more attractive. Your wife needs to hear you, husband. Your kids need to begin to hear you. Your children need to hear the sound coming from the other side of a closed door of their dad crying out to God and worshiping God and praying and speaking and inviting the promises of God and speaking the word of God over your life and over your home and over your children and over their future and over your marriage and over your finances. It's time that we discover our voice. Lord, I thank you today, God. I thank you today, God, for the people of God standing in faith, to break free, to break through, to see chains loosed. I thank you today for people, Lord, who maybe have been experiencing a shaking. Come on, that's the other part of that story. God used the shaking in Paul and Silas's life to set them free. When you surrender and submit the prison, when you surrender and submit the problem to God, he has a way of shaking some things that begin to unshackle you. Come on, your feet might feel shackled. You might feel like you're not going anywhere. Come on, that's the other mistake they made with Paul and Silas. They should have shackled their hands. They should have bound and gagged their mouth. Paul and Silas used what wasn't shackled to see the shackles be shaken off. Their hands were lifted. Their voices were raised. And God used that to begin to shake the earth around them. Lord, I thank you today for using the shaking of life to begin to set some people free, God. I thank you for a faith rising and a commitment rising in the hearts of people in this church, Lord, to be a people of prayer, to be a people of praise, to be a people of power and purpose, God. I thank you, Lord, for courage. I thank you for freedom. Lord, I thank you that this is just like every other invitation of God, just like every other thing that God calls us to. He's not just doing it for his own good. Listen, he doesn't need to be worshiped. He knows who he is. He's not insecure. He knows that when we begin to worship God, we're the ones that get set free. He understands that when we break free of that fear of man, we're the ones that begin to experience shackles falling off. We're the ones that begin to experience new levels of freedom and moving forward and reconnecting to God's purpose in our life. Lord, we're so thankful, God, that you honor our praise with your presence. We're so thankful, God, that when we praise you through the prison, when we praise you through the problem, you're faithful to show up and bring freedom and life to us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, team. You ready to just begin to lead us in this? And can I encourage you this morning, as the team begins to lead us, there's a new measure. Will you go to a new level this morning? Will you go to a new measure? Will you sing just a little louder? Will you walk in that new level of freedom to maybe take that next step or that first step of just maybe lifting your hands before the Lord or bowing your heart before the Lord in a new way? He's worthy of our praise. And when we praise him, we experience his presence. Come on, when we experience his presence, we experience a freedom that no man can take, that no man can take from us. Come on, team, sing it out.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Your name above every name. Worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Can we get the prayer team to come on up front? And I just want to encourage you today. If you need prayer for anything, for breakthrough, if you need somebody to come alongside you in your prison and start to sing alongside you, and maybe you're discouraged or you're broken or you want to see God break some chains and shackles and you just don't feel them necessarily breaking off yet, come up front. Get someone to pray with you. If you gave your life to the Lord today or you want to give your life to Jesus today, we want you to come up. Let someone partner with you in prayer. We have a gift bag for you, and it's no accident. In that gift bag, we give you a Bible and we give you a worship album, because you need praise. You need the worship of God to invade your home, your workplace, your car. So don't let whatever God stirred in your heart for about praise and about breakthrough today, don't let it stop in this room. That's for all of us. Take it out. Declare God's praise in your home, in the bedrooms of your children at night, in your workplace, in your car. Let God, let the praise of God infiltrate your life in this city, your workplace, and watch what God does when his people declare his praises throughout the land. Father, I pray a blessing over every person here, Lord. Well, I pray that you would draw them close to you, Lord, and let their heart respond to your presence. Lord, you're with us every day. We want to acknowledge your presence every day through praise, through worship, through prayer. So, Lord, I pray that you would just launch us out into the city, out into our lives this week, Lord, to praise, to worship you, to remember you in every single moment, and abide with you, Father. I pray a blessing on your children, your sons and daughters this week, your worshipers, to go and worship you in spirit and in truth this week. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the breakthrough that's going to happen as we seek you first above all else. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, momentum is right now, right after service in the fellowship hall. Come up front if you need prayer. Thank you for taking conversations outside the sanctuary so we can continue to minister and pray in here. Bless you. Have a great week.